Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars, learning that Star-Lord with idiots.
Hello, and welcome to Star Wars Lore with Idiots, the show where a bunch of grown men think that holding a lightsaber with the pointy end faced first is proper procedure. With that, let's turn it over to our lore master, Ranger J1999, and the buffoons, Rambam001, Karth, and Kashmir.
And hello again to another Lore with Idiots video with Reality Skew Gamers. Yeah, my voice sounds different. I'm Ranger J1999. No, really, I'm actually Rambam because I'm taking over. Like the Jedi, I take over everything. I want to do a quick shout out. Thank you guys for getting to $1,000 in Patreon. Because of that, I now get to do lore video for today. So it's going to be a great video. I'm excited to do it. First and foremost, we got to introduce the idiots. I'm not the idiot today because I'm smart on this topic. Ranger, J1999. We've got Kashmir. We got Karthrick. What is going on, guys?
Well, Go ahead, Karth.
We're just here to, piss in your Cheerios and really give it to you while you pretend to know something.
Should be a great day has come.
We are going to have a great time.
I just want to state for the record, I'm feeling good about this. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. I'm feeling like Kashmir's going to have a lot more closer calls with the Yoda comments today.
It might be a little bit more legit to me today.
There you go.
We might be around in the same ballpark, huh?
Yeah.
Well, so as we all know, we have to start off with figuring out what we're all drinking today. So what are you guys drinking? What is your drink of choice?
Well, I'm just drinking bourbon and Dr. Pepper as is tradition because more bourbon than Dr. Pepper, but you know.
No Chewy?
Oh, not after Friday, baby. You know, in the last 2 weeks, I've done like 20 Chewies. I'm chewed out, dude. Holy God. Last Friday. Oh, so horrible.
Oh, what did we hit last Friday? Was it 9? 8 Chewies?
8 Chewies. Yeah, it was 8.
Damn, you're a better person than I am.
Not really.
Listen,
no.
You kept offering people, just do this and I'll do another Chewy, guys. Just do this. I'll do another Chewy.
Some of those were bombshells, you know, like pills coming in. Like, hey, Ranger, check Patreon. I'm like, what? Oh, no. And I'm cashing it in. Like, ah!
Perfect.
Yeah, check the Heinze streams on Friday when we attempt to do Star Wars Galaxy Heroes stuff, but it's pretty much just nonsense, man. It is
depends
chaos.
How crazy the first hype train gets. Really impacts heavily
those,
how.
Oh my god! They always the first one's
GAC
stupid.
Performance goes.
Oh yeah, that was so beautiful to watch.
I remember there was one time where it was like an hour, about an hour.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one when we hit. We broke the record. We hit level 21 hype train. It just wouldn't stop. It just wouldn't stop, man. Ever since you and me, Ram, became the co-host, it's been just nutty,
bonkers,
dude. Bonkers, dude.
Kashmir, what are you drinking?
In honor of what I know today's topic is going to be, I am drinking Uncle Nearest 1856 bourbon. He was the first African-American whiskey master. Distill master, that's the correct term.
Huh.
Okay.
I didn't know that. Hey, see, we learned something outside.
Interesting.
We've grown. Wow, that's actually a good little nugget.
You mean we're going to walk away with a video?
I mean, why the hell do you not say this kind of stuff when I'm doing the lore video? You suck, Cash. Look at my ass.
Because you don't. I don't know the topics when you're doing them.
No. You suck.
Karthik, what about you?
Well, you know, just the typical morning mayhem, you know, quickly preparing that cup of coffee and just things falling into it left, right, and center. So, you know, it's coffee plus, you know, I'm thinking about selling it to Apple as a product they can deliver on. You know, I'm just going to change one little feature every week and rebrand it as a new product that you get to pay $100 for. So we'll make it work. Oh, God.
And of course, I'm drinking some Jack and Coke. I'm just keeping it simple.
Very nice
keep it simple,
choice.
Stupid. Kiss method.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So let's just go ahead and dive right into it. Of course, we all
forgot to do something, Ram. You didn't pimp. You got to pimp like be like
what am I pimping?
The Patreon, and you know, like if you like it, you know.
I did that there. I did that earlier.
Oh,
Ram doesn't have a Patreon.
Oh,
I don't actually have a Patreon. Yes, go enjoy Reality Scoop Gamers. And for an added bonus, if you do the $150 tier, you give Ranger a Shoei.
Wait, I forgot
so that
about
is,
that.
That is 100% a tier you should.
Forgot about that. Yeah. Please don't.
Yeah. I think, what are we up to? Like 4 Shoeis on command?
Yeah. Well, what's one was cashed in, so I still have 3 more that are lurking that it's not good.
Or very good.
Yeah, well, from a certain point of view.
Yeah, go check out the Patreon if you guys are interested in doing that. You get a lot of cool free stuff. All right, so today we got to start off with a quote. Yes, everybody knows what this video is going to be about, but we have to just do a quote just to see, gauge the audience if you guys are in the ballpark of what we're going to talk about. All right, so... Quote is, remember that war is like a fire across the galaxy. It spreads and consumes. We must never waver in the face of that fire. We are keepers of the peace. We are Jedi. The Republic needs us more than ever, which means our faith in the Force, our connection to the Force, must never waver. Ranger, what are we talking about?
Well, obviously, we're talking about Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction with his compatriot, an actor, the great Samuel L. Jackson. That's what we're talking about today.
I mean, you're not wrong from a certain point of view.
I mean, no, clearly,
you know what they call a quarter pound of cheese in France? Royale with cheese. Come on, let's go.
Wait, do you have a BMF on your wallet?
No, but I did. There it is.
Karthik?
Well, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, who was all there when these words were being said, but I'm pretty sure, you know, this was a conversation between, like, Vandar and Revan. In KOTOR 1. So I'm thinking we're going to be talking about the Jedi Council members of KOTOR 1.
Oh.
You know, clearly the more important and more interesting members to speak on.
Yeah.
And nothing from the Galactic Republic era, because that just kind of sucks in general.
Well, you know, as usual, your answer is wrong. So, you know, I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I thought it was a good answer. good answer, Karth.
Oh god, I can't wait to hear Kashmir. So what are we talking about today, Kashmir?
We are clearly talking about the supply officer and their duties as part of the Galactic Republic.
What I just said made you think supply
officer?
You
said war.
Well, you talked about war. I mean, like, we think, I mean, like, things have to be, you know, ordered, and you need supplies. Like, these people needed to be fed. I mean, come on, you're in the military.
Is okay. He? That's like a bold statement to make.
So
there.
I'm right.
Sort of. God damn it, Kashmir. No, that is wrong. You're even further off than Garth was.
Ram is in the military, like the Coruscant Underworld Police are part of the Galactic Republic Army.
Yeah. Facts.
I feel like I gave the best answer so far.
Unfortunately, sadly, you did. You were the closest, which is saying a lot. No.
What rude.
Today, we are talking about none other than Mace Windu. That's right. I have to be the lore master and teach these guys all about Mace Windu. And oh boy, I got a task for me today. Work's cut out for me. Oh man. Okay. So let's go ahead and just get on started. So Mace Windu, for those of you guys who do not know, obviously my favorite character of all time.
Would never
have
guessed
by
that.
The amazing Samuel L. Jackson. What was that? I'm sorry.
So we would never have guessed.
What? No. of course not.
Right?
Mace Windu is a
guy
weird...
so white.
Wait, what?
Said for a guy so white.
And look, opposites attract.
Yeah. Someone needed his chocolate fix.
So Mace Windu was a revered Jedi master during on the Jedi High Council during the Republic era. And specifically, he served as one of the Jedi generals on the Grand Army of the Republic. He was the battle master during his time on the Jedi High Council. He was pretty much the second in command next to, of course, Grandmaster Yoda. He tended to have a more warrior sense of view of the Jedi Order. He tried to keep to its views and wanted to stray away from the politics that the Jedi tended to play. So that's kind of where he starts out from. He was generally known as one of the greatest champions of the Jedi Order and liked to promote its ancient traditions up until the Jedi Order was defeated by the Sith. Starting off, he was born on a planet known as Harun Kal in the year 72 BBY. Now, due to his natural affinity to the Force, he was sent to the Jedi Order at a very young age. And then he was there to obviously learn the Jedi arts. But as a youngling, he endeavored to create his own lightsaber rather than just, you know, taking one from other places. He wanted to be different. Yeah, he liked to stand out. So he obtained an amethyst colored kyber crystal. He initially failed in that effort, but it caused him to doubt his ability to pass the particular rite in Jedi training. However, there was a Professor Huyang, that concluded that the youngling had neither the patience nor the correct understanding to complete his lightsaber. Droid instructor advised Windu to temper his emotions, and the secret was that a lightsaber's components never needed to be built, that Windu just needed to let go and trust in the Force. All right. So let's go ahead and just open up some questions.
I have a question.
Thus far. Let's just go ahead and see.
Yeah, I've got one. When the droid instructor was teaching Mace about his lightsaber, did he just say, you know, he got frustrated with him. He's like, English, motherfucker, do you speak it? Legitimate question.
I do not recall those words ever being transcribed. I'm not sure. I don't think those were said.
I think it might have happened. I think Carl can cast agree with me.
It happened in your head.
I think that's canon.
Are we making that canon? Karis, Kashmir, you guys got questions?
So was it when Mace and John McClane, when they were going around New York City trying to get that bomb, is that when he found his kyber crystal in Die Hard?
No. He actually found it in Chicago when he was a negotiator.
Oh, shit! I must have mixed up two movies.
Sorry. It happens.
Yeah, totally. All right, Cars, you got something?
Clearly, you know, being one of the only characters to ever go with a different colored lightsaber than, you know, the typical red, green, and blue, you know, that means he's probably and obviously wants you to stand out as the worst character ever. And so you can always identify him on the battlefield, so you can kind of just watch him. You know, it's like Jar Jar with the lightsaber.
That's what I'm seeing here. Good observation.
So you feel this poking, like, laugh, be like, ha, that's the one.
Yes, exactly. You wanted to always be able to see him before he caused a catastrophe.
Pretty sure that's not the case, but okay.
I think that's canon too.
God damn it. So following his early trials as youngling, he attained the status of Padawan by becoming Jedi Master Sizzlin Murr's apprentice. Right. Now, during his apprenticeship, a man named Druz had taken up residence in the Jedi Temple on the planet Mathoth. The local population was suffering the effects of a plague. Druz was able to convince the people that he was a Jedi prophet that could heal the sick and the dying in return for their faith and servitude. Druz was not a nice guy. Upon receiving reports, the order dispatched Murr to assess and apprehend him. Same time, Murr sought to teach Windu how to channel his frustrations into an appropriate emotion and therefore brought him to Mathoth. As they made their way to the temple, Windu observed the people's situation and pondered on what the Jedi could do to alleviate that suffering. He denounced Druz as a heretic and Swindler, who perverted the Jedi doctrine in order to take advantage of the people's misery. His master cautioned him to suppress those feelings, but Mace doesn't listen. Of course not. They entered the temple and found Druz with a group of Force worshippers who wanted to heal her child. One of whom wanted to heal her child, rather. Druz's followers came to the defense of him when the Jedi openly confronted Druz. And using the distraction that he created, they tried to escape from the temple, but obviously he was pursued by Windu. Gamorrean bodyguards were no match for Mace. They quickly got defeated. Druz managed to injure Windu's left arm with his blaster pistol. I don't know why a blaster was able to do all that, but hey, whatever. Just a young Padawan. He taunted Windu and mocked the Jedi way, sneering at their commitment to peace, as he believed that they should use their power to gain wealth through the faith of millions. Using the Force to immobilize Druz, Windu disarmed him and vowed that he would never hurt anyone else. I somehow don't think he kept that commitment. However, Murr intervened by ordering Windu to lower his lightsaber. While she understood her apprentice's frustrations, Murr believed that Druz's punishment should be decided in a court of law. So now we start getting into a lot of this is obviously going to tie into current canon with a lot of the series that we've all seen. So start hopefully being some familiarity here. So Windu continued training under the guidance of Yoda. When Jedi Master Mirror ended up disbarring him as a Padawan allowing him to go free, he continued to work under Yoda and further train. Prior to the invasion of Naboo, Windu became involved in a theater of some time and was taught to act the works by Jedi Council member Alexa Kress. He became a Jedi Master and gained the seat on the Jedi High Council, governing body of the Order. His ascension to the ranks came between 50 BBY and 42 BBY. It was the result of a mission on Raxus Secundus, where Jedi Master Khatri was killed. That's obviously tied into Visions, where we saw that. The task of retrieving Khatri's remains was given to Windu and Dooku by the High Council. Unfortunately, unsatisfied with Senator Latreque's testimony, with an ambush that killed Khatri, Dooku conducted his own investigation, and Windu insisted that they should not stay from their mandate. They should adhere to the High Council's instructions, as Windu is a man of law. He reminded Dooku that neither of them were members of the High Council, and they did not possess the authority to interfere in political conflicts without the blessing of the Council or the Senate. Dooku regarded Windu as a friend, but he did not like his strict devotion to Jedi protocol and called it maddening. Sometime later, they obviously met Senator Lyric on Raxalon, and while Windu was preparing to complete the mission by retrieving Katri's body, Tuku requested to visit the location of the death. Senator was reluctant, but they finally agreed. And when they did, they tried to turn on him. So Tuku and Mace were able to defend themselves, and Dooku surmised that Katri was betrayed by the Raxians of whom she trusted. Windu tried to de-escalate the situation, but Dooku activated his lightsaber. So that did not go too well.
I mean, depends on which side of the coin you're looking at.
I think he did the right thing.
Pew pew.
Wipe them out.
All of them. So a skirmish happened between the Jedi and the Raxians. The Jedi Masters worked together to destroy the Raxians' droid support before neutralizing the guards. And Hanel was killed by a stray blast that Windu deflected when the officer attacked him.
Oh, no.
And Samaj was taken into custody. He accused the Jedi of protecting the interests of the corrupted Senate, and as such chose to kill Katri rather than inform her of the corruption of Lyric, who he sought to use for the benefit of Raxus. Windu contested the officer's opinion, stating that a Jedi, Katri, would never have listened to Samange. And Windu and Dooku later attended the funeral of Katri at Jedi Temple on Coruscant, having learned that Katri's seat on the council would be offered to Windu. Dooku grew suspicious of his friend. Windu insisted he was as surprised as Dooku when his elevation to the High Council ranks. Windu reminded Dooku that they had received their orders from the High Council, and it was Dooku who pursued a course of action that resulted in the death of a Republic senator. But Windu assured Dooku that he would speak on his behalf to the High Council. And that was that. Long regarded as the Jedi Order's greatest champion, he was Windu tried to maintain the Jedi's ancient traditions while the Republic declined due to galactic unrest and political corruption. He was one of the most distinctive members of the Order, crafted a lightsaber specifically designed in Electrum, indicating his status as a high council member. And it also, of course, emitted a amethyst blade, making it one of the only people to wear or to have a purple lightsaber. So now we'll open up to some more questions. Ranger, anybody?
Well, I do have a question.
Yeah, always. Oh, Cashmere, go.
Okay. So is it true or false? Did Mace not like snakes on a plane? Like, or was he okay with snakes on a plane?
Well, I think you have to figure out like what types of snakes are we talking about. I do feel like Mace was tired of those snakes on the plane.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
I do feel like that, but I don't know if he like hated any specific kinds of snakes. anybody else?
Well, we all know why Mace has a purple lightsaber. It's the true reason is because he went to Jedi Master George Lucas and said, "I want a purple lightsaber." And that's what he got.
Look, what Mace wants, Mace gets, right?
Well, apparently, yeah. Other nonsense you're talking about. Like, it's like, it was Jedi Master George Lucas.
Yeah, I mean he's the second highest, second most powerful Jedi, second best Jedi. I feel like he should get a different color lightsaber than the standard red, blue, or yellow or green. You know,
yeah. Who's number one? I forgot.
I feel like you know the answer.
Is it the guy with the stick?
You know that answer.
He
does have a stick. He does have a stick though.
Who?
I don't know if it's
who has a stick. Who?
The Grandmaster Yoda.
Oh, yeah, Yoda has a walking stick. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's the same stick as the other stick that we talked about.
Let's not go into that. Oh, boy.
I mean, if he probably had that same stick, he might have won that duel with Count Dooku in the beginning of the Attack of the Clones.
That's true.
Because it would never happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Think of everything that could have done with that stick.
Oh. Oh boy.
This Lore with Idiots brought to you by Stick. That's right, kids. We're looking for something to play with. All right, a good old fashioned stick.
That stick has transcended time.
Really has.
Well, you know.
Ranger thought it was just gonna be a throwaway line. No.
Yeah. You beat off somebody with a stick and all of a sudden
the cool thing was that he beat someone with us with just using a stick, and you guys are like, yeah, but what's magical about the stick? Nothing about the guy using it. Yeah, I don't care about that. It's the stick. Okay, cool.
Oh yeah. That guy's obviously dead now. Like, come on, we want to know about where this what the stick was doing.
Okay. So approximately about 10 years before the Clone Wars, Mace Windu, he attended a council meeting and found Yoda alone in a small garden of the temple. And he said he had an embarrassing question that he couldn't ask for the council. He questioned whether the Grandmaster had sensed something he had not told him of. Yoda explained that he instead sensing a lack of something, leading to a debate of the concepts of nothing and something. Because these are what Jedi Masters on the High Council tend to ponder. Deciding that the Force would educate him in due time, Windu decided to trust Yoda's judgment and left the room after not speaking. Later on, the Trade Federation created the blockade of the planet Naboo, and at the request of Chancellor Valorum, Jedi Order Council ordered Qui-Gon Jinn and his apprentice Obi-Wan to go to Naboo.
Now, Naboo, that's the dust planet, right? With all the sand?
No, that's Jakku.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah. Naboo is, it's like the party planet, right?
Oh.
Isn't that? I don't know.
Listen, I'm the idiot here, not you.
No, Naboo is obviously where Padme Amidala was queen. It's her home ward. We all know the events that happened once Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan encountered Darth Maul. Darth Maul was able to kill Obi-Wan, or Qui-Gon, rather, not Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was able to slice him in half in a feat of great strength. And that was when they had announced that the Sith had returned. And it was there at the funeral that the Mace talked to Yoda and was like, always more there are. Which was destroyed, the master or the apprentice. So that led to the discussion of whether Maul was the master or the apprentice of the Sith that they encountered. Mace or Ki-Adi Mundi were particularly convinced that the Jedi Order's Sith could have returned without them knowing. They were a little bit blind in that regard. He assured them that the full resources of the Order would be utilized to verify the truth of those claims, and more specifically, the identity of the Dark Warrior that attacked Qui-Gon. And then, obviously, during that time, Jin talked to him and was like, "Hey, look, I got a virgins in the Force. I found young Anakin Skywalker, he should be trained because his midichlorian count is extremely high.
It's over 9,000.
It was indeed over 9,000."
I knew it.
Master,
knew
what it. Are midichlorians? Anakin, it's heroin.
Windu reluctantly agreed. He was like, bring him before us. And when he did, Anakin passed the test with flying colors. He was able to call off everything. Spaceships, flowers, everything, you name it. He said, although Anakin possessed the highest concentration of midichlorians in his cells, Windu was skeptical of his claims. They were impressed by Skywalker's ability to use the Force without any formal training, but they sensed the emotional attachment and also a great deal of fear in him. They declined his request to have him train in the Jedi arts, and Windu personally felt that Skywalker was too old to commit his life in the Jedi Code as well as the Force without a distraction of his emotional attachments. Obviously, afterwards, Yoda reversed that decision and allowed Obi-Wan to train Anakin. Windu continued to doubt his Skywalker's ability to commit himself to the Jedi way, And that obviously would put a strain on the relationship throughout the years, as Skywalker grew in the Jedi Order. Yoda talked about the rule of two, and Windu had pondered over which of the two was defeated by Kenobi. But when Jin's body had turned to ash, Windu and the other council members, they obviously left the funeral and went to do a celebration with the newly elected Supreme Chancellor, Sheev Palpatine.
Palpatine.
Anybody have any questions?
So Mace liked Palpatine.
No. Mace didn't like politics. Why would Mace like Palpatine?
I think he did.
I don't know. He was shorter than him.
He went to his party.
Yeah, come on.
Well, it's kind of like you kind of have to, okay? Like when you're in military terms, when you're CO and the XO, you kind of just have to go to things, okay? And you're second in command.
There's always choices, Ram. He didn't have to do anything.
Oh my God.
Should have followed the will of the Force, and he would have went somewhere else.
Well, the will of the Force tied was with Qui-Gon.
Maybe okay. He went to like a Fuddruckers or something.
Space Fuddruckers.
Wow. Okay. So. In the decade that followed the Battle of Naboo, Galactic Republic faced the crisis of the star systems becoming the separatist alignment. And Windu advised the Supreme Chancellor that the Republic was very vulnerable, and the Jedi Order lacked the sufficient manpower to defend the entire Republic in the event of a war. He stated that they are keepers of the peace and not soldiers. So there would not be enough Jedi to defend the entire Republic. They needed an army. During this time, Padme was narrowly, almost assassinated. Anakin and Obi-Wan were able to save her, and they revealed that the assassin was hired by Jango Fett and Count Dooku. Yoda and Windu were suspicious that Count Dooku was involved in that attack.
Don't be suspicious.
Dooku had renounced his Jedi status right before this, which we saw in the Visions series that he had renounced it shortly after Qui-Gon's death. Windu heeded Yoda's and Palpatine's warning that Amidala's life was in great danger, and they allowed Anakin and Obi-Wan to become the temporary bodyguards for the senator. Windu and the council instructed Kenobi to track Zam Wessel's accomplice, and ordered Skywalker to accompany Amidala to her home planet of Naboo in case another attempt was made on her life. During that time, the Separatist crisis worsened, and Windu concurred with Yoda's belief that the dark side of the Force was responsible for the turmoil that undermined the galactic peace and stability. They were disturbed to learn that Kenobi's investigation led him to Kamino, where they found the clone army under the guise of Jedi Master Sifo Dyas. They presumed that he was alive and a leading member of the Jedi Council until Kenobi corrected that assumption to the Kaminoans. They followed the source of the clone army, the bounty hunter Jango Fett, to the planet Geonosis, where he reported another discovery to both Windu and Yoda, they had no intention of Separatists actually negotiating with the Republic. They just were stalling for time in order to create a massive army of battle droids to wage war on the Republic. The Senate voted to empower Chancellor Palpatine with emergency wartime powers, and he used this to create a Grand Army of the Republic, and allowed Windu to lead a Jedi assault team to Geonosis to rescue Kenobi and Anakin and Padme. And that is where we get to the Battle of Geonosis. This is probably one of the most famous points of Windu's timeline. So we get there. Obviously, they see that Windu steps out, sees the overarching view, and sees the execution arena where the animals are being released to kill Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Padme. And he steps out, ignites his blade, and puts it right to Jango Fett's head. Says, "This party's over," in a famous quote there. Dooku is like, "Nope, that's not how this is going to go." And
this party's just about to begin.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Windu ends up leaping over and landing into the middle of the field, along with Anakin, Padme, and Obi-Wan, along with the rest of the Jedi that were there. And they go on a massive, massive battle, destroying all the droids, and the Geonosians are there. But eventually, there's just a lot of Jedi that are killed in this battle, and they are all end up being surrounded. During this time, Jango Fett decides to foolishly try to go and kill Mace Windu. Don't know why he would do that, because as soon as he did that, Mace Windu beheaded him.
Well, he had some help from the beast.
All the beast was make it a fair playing ground, got rid of the jetpack.
There's no such thing. The guy has a force. Jango needed his jetpack. It didn't work because he got trampled on.
Exactly. I'm just putting this out here.
Jango just got bad luck.
I'm just putting this out here. The man's covered. Jango Fett was covered in Beskar armor. We know that Beskar armor repels lightsaber attacks.
It does, yes.
Mace happened to hit with such precision while deflecting blaster bolts and running, and managed to hit with such precision to the one part of his armor that did not have Beskar on it, which was his neck. I'm just saying, that's skill right there.
I'm just saying, that sounds like Jango's folly. He should have had a neck armor piece installed instead.
Why didn't he?
Come on.
Because this is not the only
most couple. Notorious bounty hunter in the world, my ass.
The Jedi killing bounty hunter too.
Yeah, I know. He killed a lot during the battle of Geonosis. That one guy got one after Dooku, and he was like, get away from my boy.
Probably putting stuff in their drinks.
Yeah, it was Death Sticks.
So they rounded up all the Separatists, rounded up all the Jedi, and Dooku was like, this is you can either surrender or die. And it was at that point that the Grand Army of the Republic made its amazing debut into the arena and destroyed the droids, circling creating a cone of survival around the Jedi survivors. Several LA.
The one with Cal?
No.
Oh.
Not.
My bad. Wrong survivor.
Wrong survivor.
Okay. Job. Okay.
During this time, the several LAATs landed in the arena and were able to pick up all the Jedi, including Duke, including Windu.
The LAPD was there.
They wouldn't have picked Mace up.
Wow.
And demonetized. Here we go.
Oh, we've been demonetized a long time ago. So
they would have picked them up and never mind. Just go on.
Oh boy.
We'll skirt the rest of that.
Just let it go. Oh no.
Oh, so they Windu hops on the LAAT with Ki-Adi-Mundi and Grandmas Yoda, and they take them to a command post right outside the arena, where there are several Separatist spaceships about to take off, and a whole massive droid army. It's there that where Ki-Adi-Mundi and Mace Windu get off, and they clone commander for CT-411, who's known as Pons. And he says he has 5 special commander units awaiting the Jedi champion orders. So Mace leads them into the charge of battle with his lightsaber ignited. And during that time, Grandmaster Yoda obviously goes off to the forward command post and takes out the spaceships. Windu kept Pons by his side during the rest of the battle and later on during the rest of the Clone Wars up until Pons' death. The Clone Army forced the Separatists into full retreat, abandoning Geonosis to Republic occupation. Windu returned to the capital, content that the first battle resulted in a victory, but was upset over his failure to capture Dooku. Windu came to accept that he had been wrong in his preconception of Dooku's character. His old friend had turned to the dark side and become an enemy of both the Order and the Republic. Formation of the CIS shattered a thousand years of peace that once defined the Jedi Order's role in the galaxy. And Windu and his fellow Jedi accepted formal command of the Clone Army as generals and commanders. He also learned about Dooku's assertion that a mysterious Sith Lord by the name of Sidious had hundreds of senators under his control, but Yoda believed that the Council had no incentive to trust the word of a fallen Jedi. Windu recommended that the Council maintain a watchful eye on the Senate, having never trusted the highly corrupt government in the first place. As the clone troopers and their leaders prepared for war, Yoda expressed his sadness to Windu and Kenobi, declaring that a shroud of darkness had descended upon the galaxy, and the first galactic-scale conflict known as the Clone Wars since the formation of the Republic had begun. All right, do we have any questions?
Now, the Clone Wars, was that where they cloned wars and just stuck them on different planets, or was it like something else? It's copy and paste. Control C, Control V. I'm just curious.
No, how do you clone a war?
I don't know.
When a mama war and a daddy war love each other very much.
When a Western power and an Eastern country.
Oh boy.
The Clone Wars was one of my favorite animated shows. Like, I like when Mace Windu, when he like gets in his suit, in his super suit, and he starts like making the ice and start like going all over the place. Yes.
Where's my super suit?
Why do you need to know?
It's life or death. No, this dinner.
I am the greatest good you are ever going to get.
Bob, but Kashmir, have you ever seen the Cartoon Network version of the clone?
Oh, ooh. Jesus Christ. Oh, right? God.
Yes, I have.
Now, that had some good Mace moments. I'm just saying.
Mace was a goddamn monster in that.
Mace, I see your droid monster army. I literally raise your droid army, and then I use it to fire against you. Ready, go.
Yeah, he did kung fu fighting against a droid army. It was pretty impressive.
He literally punched a B2 battle droid into submission.
Yes.
Oh, God. I thought Ram was a good liar.
It's horrible. Okay.
So we have the Clone Wars thingy happening. Go on, Ram.
We have a whole bunch of Clone Wars battles that end up... Mace,
well, give us the highlights. Yeah, give us the highlights.
Oh, yeah,
the big ones.
No,
big
we're going to give you, highlights.
We want to keep this under 5 hours. Thank, please.
5 hours? Is that? I thought it was 6 hours was the limit.
Oh, my God.
This is Mace we're talking about. I do love a good 69.
Well, you're going to be cutting this video, you son.
So over here, we obviously have battles like Harish. We have battles like Dantooine. We got Rhoda. We got the liberation of Ryloth in here. That's obviously a fun one to talk about with Wat Tambor and all that fun stuff. Sham Syndulla. Let's go ahead and actually, I want to talk about his assassination attempt. So during
he tried to assassinate someone. Go on.
No! The assassination attempt on Mace. So, as the Clone Wars progressed, Boba Fett, who was upset that Mace killed his father, rightfully so, conspired to assassinate Windu out of vengeance for the death of his father, and he was aided by bounty hunters Ara Singh, Bosk, and Castus. They were able to fake a tour of Windu Starship, the Venator class Star Destroyer Endurance. Everybody knows that one. Initially, Fett wanted to kill Windu by placing explosive device in his quarters. However, Mace was called away conveniently mere seconds before the bomb was triggered, resulting in the death of Clone Trooper instead of Mace. As they searched for Windu's would-be assassin, Boba amended his plan by sabotaging the Star Destroyer's reactor and causing the starship to crash into the planet Vankor. After escaping the vessel, Windu and Skywalker searched for survivors, led them to escape pod that contained the cadets, with the exception of Fett, whose Ara Singh retrieved in Slave One prior to the Jedi's arrival. In the destruction of the Endurance, Windu and Skywalker traveled to the crash site, hoping to find survivors, including Admiral Killian and Pons, both of whom opted to remain with the ship after it went down. Windu chastised Skywalker for encouraging individuality in his joy, the astromech R2-D2. Before long, Jedi generals discovered several dead clones, along with the signs that they had survived the clash, only to be executed shortly thereafter by Boba and his crew. At that moment, Windu remembered both Jango and Boba Fett leading the Jedi Master to realize it was the latter who attempted to assassinate him. Although Windu was unable to prevent Skywalker from triggering the bomb within the helmet, he successfully saved the younger Jedi's life by pulling away from the explosion through the Force. A blast caused even more damage to the bridge, however, leaving both men trapped and injured under a large pile of debris. Unable to escape from their own, Skywalker instructed R2-D2 to relay the situation to the Jedi Temple. And Windu, on the other hand, expressed little faith in R2's ability to succeed, because Windu doesn't trust people.
Oh, yeah.
You think he would with that dash and debonair personality he has?
He would think. He's very
such a likable guy.
Yeah, yeah. Not making
orphans out of little boys. Come on, he sounds so lovable.
Windu reflected on his actions of the Battle of Geonosis, particularly his victory over Jango Fett, and how Boba witnessed his father's death at Windu's hand. Skywalker's droid was able to return with a rescue party consisting of Plo Koon, Ahsoka Tano, and clone troopers of Wolfpack, and they both managed to save the Jedi before the full collapse of the Endurance Bridge. After returning to the Republic capital, Windu and Skywalker recuperated at the temple, and they argued over their next course of events that they needed to, and Fett's attempt on their life. Anakin obviously wanted to hunt the renegade clone and bring him to justice, but Windu was he was fine with letting it go. I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. Transmission from Ara Singh came in, revealed the hostages she took from the Endurance, changed the Jedi Master's mind. Windu decided to confront Fett and his accomplices upon witnessing Singh's execution of Pons. Due to his injuries, he allowed Plo Koon and Tano to go in his stead. Their mission was a success, resulting in Fett's arrest and the rescue of the remaining hostages. Windu confronted Boba in person, and who regretted his actions on the Endurance, but refused to forgive the Jedi for Jango's death. And Windu then sent him to prison.
Just doesn't like kids, does he?
He doesn't. Mace does not like people in general. Doesn't feel like.
He just has like an anti-orphan issue, right? Like, screw Annie, screw Bubba, come on. No father, no problem.
So later on in the Clone Wars, towards the end of the Clone Wars, Mace wanted to track down Maul. And so they were seen on or near Ord Mantell, acting on the Chancellor's information. Windu led a force of clone troopers alongside Generals Kenobi, Tipley, and Aayla Secura to the battle site, hopefully to encounter the Sith. After investigating the area, they found the helmet of a Mandalorian super commando, which led Windu to confirm that the alliance between Prime Minister Almec's government and the criminal underworld was in fact intact. During this, Jedi Master tracked Maul to Vizsla and proceeded with a direct assault on the Mandalorian outpost. During that attack, Windu and Secura dueled with Maul while Dooku fought Kenobi and Tipley, who was ultimately slain by the former Jedi Master. Tipley was. Despite their efforts, both Sith Lords were able to escape from the outpost with the support of Maul's commandos. In the aftermath of the battle, Windu reported the Chancellor and conveyed his suspicion that Dooku and Maul were master and apprentice, a theory which led him to believe that Dooku may have been the second Sith that the Jedi have been searching for since the Naboo crisis. So it basically threw Windu and the Jedi off the scent of Palpatine at that point. So we'll blame Windu for that one. Later on in the war,
you're saying the entire events of Revenge of the Sith are because of Mace. So
there's
Anakin wouldn't have fallen. The Republic would have stayed together.
There's a lot.
The Empire never would have been a thing.
I'm just saying, there's a lot that Mace could have done that he didn't do. I'm not saying he's the golden boy.
What? Oh, come on. The worshiper of Mace is saying he's not the golden boy?
You heard it here first.
Lies and slander.
So later on, they went to the planet Anaxes, which was under attack by Admiral Trench. They had gained the Separatists had gained the upper hand in the battle, despite the weeks of battle. At the Republic base, Windu conferred with Skywalker after the droids had overrun the main production unit. 501st Legion Captain Rex and 212th Attack Battalion Commander Cody had arrived, and Rex shared his theory that the droids had learned his personal strategies. Windu allowed them to take a small squad of troopers to go behind enemy lines to infiltrate the Cyber Center to learn more. That is the Bad Batch, obviously. Rex thought that clone trooper CT-1409 had been killed, but they were able to find him. They were rescued. Echo was rescued from Skako Minor. Following this, Windu debriefed Kenobi, Skywalker, and Rex and Jesse on his plan to retake the Separatist assembly complex by air. When Echo posed his plan to be escorted by the Bad Batch into Trench's new comm vault on a dreadnought on the planet's orbit and plug himself to feed the Separatist strategic movements. Windu, along with Kenobi, led the assault team with the 501st Legion, 91st Mobile Recon Corps, and 212th Attack Battalion to attack a complex. Battle ended with all other fronts falling to the Republic. Trench initiated a countdown for an explosion that could destroy most of Anaxes. Windu assisted with deactivating the bomb and managed to save Anaxes. Following that victory, Windu commended Rex, Clone Force 99, and Echo for their efforts during the battle, but Echo and the commandos left before the Republic's medal ceremony.
Now this is the battle where he jumps in and says, in the name of the Galactic Republic, throw down your arms, and they shoot at him.
Yes.
Yeah, that was like my favorite thing, where he's like, by this point... the Clone Wars, I have killed over 50,000 of your kind. I'm giving you the opportunity to surrender. And then they just start firing.
We don't know what you're talking about. Yeah,
we gloss over the cool part where, you know, Anakin interrogates Trench for the disarming codes. Mace is just the guy plugging him into the computer. Come on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anakin's the one who doesn't have such weakness.
So Mace is more of like a data entry.
Oh yeah, like yeah. Mace
person
is...
and Anakin's doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Mace is just there for the show.
Yeah,
he's just there for the lulz.
Yeah, they got to have a purple lightsaber on screen, so yeah. they bring Mace out.
Or as Ram would say, he's there just for the looks, the eye candy. He's the eye candy.
It is true. Ram likes to drool a little bit.
What? So wrapping up the war, the Clone Wars, Battle Coruscant, Windu was disturbed by Chancellor Palpatine's decision to appoint Skywalker as a representative on the High Council. Obviously, the council obliged the chancellor, hoping to use the Jedi as a spy against him. But Windu warned his colleagues that it was dangerous to pair Skywalker with Palpatine. Skywalker reacted with anger to the council's decision to withhold the status of Jedi Master from him, but was quickly put in his place by Windu, who told him to take a seat. At this time, the council grew doubtful that Palpatine would surrender his wartime powers, and Windu agreed that the chancellor would have to be removed by force, and further added that the council would have to take control of the Senate in order to maintain peace during the transitional period. Ahsoka Tano, alongside the recently promoted Commander Rex, reported a successful capture of Maul during the Siege of Mandalore. Tano requested to speak with Skywalker, but was refused due to Skywalker's task with the Chancellor. Upon learning that Kenobi had located and engaged in Grievous, Tano believed that the war could be over soon, but Windu noted that the war's conclusion depended on Palpatine. When Tano questioned what he meant, Windu declined to discuss matters further with the citizen, stating that it was the business of the High Council. Tano responded that she understood and gave Windu gave Tano a final nod before ending his transmission. Do we have any questions?
No, I think it's pretty pretty straightforward at this point. Now we get to the good part.
Something out the window.
We haven't gotten to this part yet.
No, that's the window. It's different. Come on.
I do love that quote. I'm sorry, citizen. This matters for Jedi Council. I love that part.
Right. His last possible moment to, salvage the events that are about to take place. And you're just like, no.
Even though we were wrong for accusing you and we're really assholes. I'm going to continue being an asshole because
and we've only relied on you to recapture one of our greatest threats.
Yeah. Good work. But we can't discuss things with you. You just brought us all this vital information about Maul.
You probably should
capture Maul.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you shouldn't reveal the things that Maul told you to us because we're going to just be petty about what happened here.
Yeah. And
so the whole thing is Mace's fault.
I'm not disagreeing with that. So with the death of General Grievous during the Battle of Utapau, Windu was determined to see the Senate restored to its former position during the Clone Wars. Skywalker had revealed to Windu that Chief Palpatine was in fact Darth Sidious, the mastermind behind the war, and the second Sith the Jedi had been searching for since Naboo. Realizing the Jedi had been deceived and knowing the future of the Jedi Order was in grave danger, Windu and three other Jedi Masters, Agent Kolar, Sacy Tin, and Kit Fisto, went to Palpatine's office and attempted to arrest the Supreme Chancellor. Their confrontation led to a lightsaber duel in which Sidious killed the latter three with ease. Despite the loss of his comrades, Windu continued to fight and ultimately prevailed in the duel, disarming the Sith Lord in the process. Skywalker, who had followed Windu despite the latter's orders to remain in the temple, beseeched the Jedi Master to spare the Chancellor's life, believing Sidious had the power to save Padme Amidala from death. Windu, whose original goal was to put the Chancellor on trial, concluded that Sidious was too dangerous to be left alive due to his control over the Senate and the courts. Before Windu could deliver the killing strike, Skywalker betrayed Mace by severing his right hand, enabling Sidious to unleash a torrent of Force lightning that sent the Jedi Order's great champion plummeting to his presumed death.
Presumed? Ha!
he's mushy.
Let me just get this right. Ram is trying to
Go ahead.
Further along the rumor that Mace isn't
just
dead.
Just saying,
yet.
We never saw a body.
Because there was nothing left after it disintegrated against the ground, being 9,000 stories up in the air.
Jedi can fall from great heights and still survive.
Not that far.
Only Sith can. Only dark side guys can. Only Maul had learned such power. And, Ahsoka was going to share that power with him prior
Could have told him. Could have saved his life.
Calling him a citizen. And he had to just tell her to shove off. And so she's like, well, you'll never learn this trick then.
He probably would have been like, listen, you're a citizen. I ain't listening to you.
Yeah, probably. You're beneath me.
God damn it. the good thing about that battle was that some points that I like to think about with Mace was Shatterpoint was what allowed Mace to gain the upper hand during that battle.
Well, tell the folks what Shatterpoint is.
So Shatterpoint is a force power that was highly used by Mace. And basically it just allows Mace to kind of see the weaknesses in his opponents and then be able to exploit said weaknesses, whether that's through fighting style or, character flaw or emotions or whatever the case is, he's able to kind of exploit that. So Shatterpoint and obviously the use of a pod, which we talked about in a previous lore video, was allowed basically Mace to channel all the dark side energy from Sidious and Mace's own inner dark side energy and then just reflect it back onto Sidious. That's what allowed Mace to just decimate the Sith Lord Sidious in a duel one-on-one. Some people think that Sidious was letting him win. I highly disagree with that because it's just there's no way. When you take all of Mace's abilities into account, there's no way that Mace would have killed him. The second thing to consider is that it wasn't a crime in the Galactic Republic to be a Sith Lord. It was a crime for the Jedi for a Sith Lord to exist. But the Galactic Republic didn't have an issue with it. They didn't care whether you're Jedi, Sith, whatever. It doesn't matter. So by Mace killing Supreme Chancellor Palpatine because he's a Sith would not have allowed, or it would not have prevented the Galactic Republic from arresting Mace and probably either putting him on death row or locking him up for life. Mace was fully aware and wanted to commit to the saving of the Jedi Order by sacrificing his own life to kill Chancellor Palpatine.
Well, there were two Jedi that Palpatine feared the most. Well, three. Yoda, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Mace, and of course, Plo Koon. Because they mm-hmm. possessed abilities and things that could give him a run for his money. As powerful as Sidious was, he wasn't stupid.
That's why he had Plo Koon killed during Order 66 with the in the fighters. Because he knew he wouldn't be able to take him out on foot. So after the fall of Mace, obviously, the Empire pushed out a whole bunch of propaganda, basically labeling Mace as the leader of a band of rebels. And basically pushed out propaganda saying, yep, Mace was this guy that tried to dethrone the Republic, tried to kill the Republic, and brandish the Jedi as traitors. Obviously, the people that were actually saved by Mace, such as Ryloth and a few other places, Champs and Doola, they all remember Mace for what he actually did. But for, unfortunately, most of the Empire, Mace is now a bad guy in the terms of the Empire. That is really it. Mm-hmm. Until we get into specific stuff on Mace with abilities and whatnot. But we don't need to cover all that.
Well, my favorite story about Mace, and I don't know if it's canon or legend, but I read this somewhere that when Mace was an up-and-coming Jedi, he was on some planet and he was surrounded by all these... going after somebody, surrounded by all these bounty hunters and mercenaries and stuff, and they've got the draw on him. It's a ton of them. And all he does is he whips out his lightsaber and he just says, think about it. And they all surrender to him. They immediately put all their weapons down and surrender to him. And I don't remember where I read that, but I don't know if that's legend or canon, but it is a story out there about old Mace Windu.
Pretty sure that was legends, and it's in, I want to say it's in Shatterpoint. It's in the Shatterpoint novelization, I want to say.
See, and here I thought Shatterpoint was literally just Mace Windu learned how to break glass with his hand. Like, you know, that seemed like, you know, the fatal flaw in his plan in the battle versus Palpatine was breaking the window. I mean, he would have just bounced off the glass if he'd just been thrown into that, but no.
Oh, that's what Shatterpoint was.
Yeah, Shatterpoint at the window and broke it. Like, come on.
No.
It's a little like a...
I will say that a lot of when you put it into perspective, a lot of the issues with the Galactic Republic and whatnot, that's a lot of it could have prevented had Mace just been a nicer person. Understanding the way that Mace is, I get why he was the way he was, but Anakin, for instance, and I've said this before, Anakin needed a father figure. He didn't have that. You know, Qui-Gon was the only thing that he had as a father figure. Yoda was a mentor and a, you know, the Jedi High Council leader.
He was Grampy Yoda.
Right. Mace was a person that had to accept Anakin but didn't want to, and so was always keeping him at arm's length.
Mace was the stepfather that didn't want the child.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Obi-Wan was the brother. And I mean, as great as it is to have a brother, if you don't have a father figure, you're not doing anything.
Just to back up, you know, a dozen years, the Dave Filoni interview about episode one really, really hits home with what happens with Mace and Anakin's relationship later, is that the Duel of the Fates was not about, you know, the outcome of that battle. It was about the outcome of Anakin's future. And with Qui-Gon being defeated there, Anakin was left without a proper father figure and had nothing to go with later on in life. And so it's kind of interesting to see how they tie in some of those events to later effects, because Mace has issues that he just can't get around when it comes to Anakin. And that's what causes a lot of problems, because he can't trust him. He can't, you know, he just, the pride, the arrogance, he doesn't know how to work around it and connect with them, you know, because that's just not who he is. And
which is interesting, because Mace had that kind of relationship with Quinlan Vos, because mm-hmm. Quinlan right. Vos went down the dark side path because he was trying to study Vapad, and Mace was that figure, you know, that he needed. He didn't do that with Anakin. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is just probably the dynamic of the relationship too. There's a lot.
I don't think Mace ever trusted Anakin, and he was right not to.
No. Well, yeah, for a lot of it, there was a lot of reason why he should never have trusted Anakin. And I think that's also because that was the downside of being trained by Obi-Wan. You know, Obi-Wan was a good teacher, but he wasn't a good disciplinarian when it came to Anakin. Anakin got away with a lot of things that a Jedi should not have been allowed to do, and were overlooked because of, you know, because of the prophecy, you know. And I think that gave Mace a lot of pause of just like, ah,
I don't
maybe
trust this guy.
Maybe I hold you at arm's length until I need you. And I think that's part of the reason why Anakin felt so betrayed by them asking to spy on Palpatine, was because he's like, well, you haven't trusted me with anything else, and now it's like, spy on your friend.
Mm-hmm.
We got a really personal mission for you. Can you do it for us? It's like, yeah. So they do a good job of sowing the seeds of mistrust and other things between the characters that help things make sense at the end of it. But yeah, you always look back at it from the plot points. It's like, man, if Mace Windu just died at the Battle of Geonosis, the whole rest of this story could have played out.
I wonder what Cash thinks about all this. He's been really quiet.
I'm just kind of sitting back.
Uh-huh.
Relax. Yeah. No liking questions? Some Mace info.
Okay. Any questions or thoughts or anything?
It's asking a lot, I guess, for Kashmir to have thoughts more than one at a time.
I'm just trying to, like, I thought I heard somewhere that he was actually had a brother that was stronger than him.
What?
Mace had a brother that was stronger than him.
I believe in Legends he did.
I don't know where I heard it from. Obviously, it must have been Legends, because obviously it wasn't. We don't have any kind
Mace has a much more detailed history in Legends. In canon, he doesn't have
as much.
There's not as much, right?
There were a lot of books that were written with Mace and stuff, but they're no longer canon, unfortunately.
Yeah. So probably somewhere in those books, yeah. He I want to say he did have a brother. I don't remember if it was a younger or older brother.
I thought it might have been a twin brother. His name might have been Shaft.
Okay.
God damn it.
Man, that troll just went on way too long.
I was like, where's he going with this?
Just like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop with Cash's
statement.
There it
is.
Just like,
there it is.
Come on. Come on. Let's go.
I was waiting for him to go. So when did Mace get the eye patch?
Yeah, how have we gone this long and we haven't had a Nick Fury reference?
I know, right?
Maybe that's just... after he fell out of the window. That's his injury. He needed an eye patch.
That's where it comes from.
No. We're gonna retcon that in the next in the Ahsoka series, yeah. And Mace is gonna get the eye patch because of the fight with a Lothal cat thing.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't remember what they're called right now.
We know what you mean, buddy.
Oh, I know, but I just
Garfield. Called
no.
Garfield. The cat?
No, they're not. No, they're not called.
They could have been called Garfield.
Well, I mean, you can name it anything you want.
You can name anything you want.
So. Yeah, I mean that's everything about Mace as far as his history. I mean, not a perfect character. He's just my favorite.
We'll wrap it up by saying, Ram, give us why Mace is your favorite character in all of Star Wars. So much so that when we surprised Ram on one of our streams long ago on the Hindu stream and told him that Mace was getting a rework, he cried like a little girl. Why is Mace your favorite character, Ram?
So growing up, I watched Star Wars heavily, and I don't know, it was something about, obviously I knew Samuel L. Jackson from other movies, but it was the portrayal of the character. It was the second in command. Everybody knew who Yoda was, but nobody knew who this Jedi Master, you know, black guy sitting on the throne was. Nobody knew who he was. He shows up in Geonosis and is just a complete utter badass. And then when you start digging into his story, you kind of see that he's got a lot more depth in his life than just, hey, I'm second in command, I'm a bad motherfucker. Why is he like that? He doesn't like the politics stuff. He wants the order to get back to its former self. And I like the in-depth stuff on him. Besides just being Samuel L. Jackson, besides just having a purple lightsaber, and you know, besides having Shatterpoint and Vapod and all that stuff, he's a total badass, and I like his history. And then obviously when I played Swiggo, I was like, this character is he's my favorite, and he's garbage. He's trash.
I know that feeling very well.
So, you know, I was obviously thrilled when he did get a rework. So I don't know.
Thus the legend was created.
Absolutely.
All right, Ram, I think we've done our due diligence. Great job today. I think we can all say that. You want to close us out for the day there, Ram, and tell everybody about this great lore series with idiots what we're doing.
So thank you guys for joining us on the Lore with Idiots. I am your host, RamBam001, for today. Next week, I'm going to pass it back over to Ranger because I prefer being an idiot than I do being a lore master.
Not so easy, is it?
Well, you know, when one is just his default setting.
Exactly. I'm just naturally better at
play
idiot.
Yourself than play a different character.
Yeah.
But we are gonna be doing this on a weekly series now. So you guys can see when Ranger uploads this one, we'll do recording every week and have it out to you guys. So thank you guys for the patron support to Ranger. Reality Skew Gamers does a lot of fine work over there for a lot of people, so sure, it's greatly appreciated. But until next time, we'll catch y'all later.